Good evening, and it's really good, at long last, to be able to meet you all face-to-face, because is there anybody here who was here in 2007? Nobody? So this is an unusual situation in that the one speaking, who is, you've not even met, is here before anybody else was here. But in the providence of God, we're here together tonight. Gathered together to celebrate the work of God around the world. And first of all, let me say that we are very, very, very grateful for your partnership with us over the years, especially as you haven't even met us. You inherited us, and you kept on supporting us. You kept on praying for us. And that prayer, by the way, is so crucial, so crucial. More important than the financial support is the prayer support. And you've been giving both. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for partnering with us. Missionaries out on the field can only do so much. And without prayer, they can't really do anything of significance, because we need God to work through our efforts, whether it's home or in the foreign country. And prayer is so vital to getting and opening up the power of God in our situations. In His providence, God has allowed us to be part of His work that He's doing. He could do everything all by Himself. He doesn't need us, but He gives us the privilege of being involved with Him through prayer. So thank you for stepping in and fulfilling your part of that work and that partnership. So, for our devotional today, I'm going to go through three things. First of all, God's Word is essential. That's the first point. Secondly, God's Word in the heart language of a person is much more effective. And thirdly, Bible translation is also crucial to the work of God and the plan of God. So, that's the brief outline. First of all, then, God's Word is essential. God is not like the gods that are invented by human minds. The gods of the Romans, the gods of the Greeks, they were all distant from humankind, and they were up there somewhere, and they were capricious. You never knew what kind of mood they were in, and they would, on a whim, if they're in a bad mood, they would send down a thunderbolt and fry you up. Well, God, the real God, is not like that at all. God is involved with His creation. God desires fellowship and relationship with His people, with His creation. He doesn't just leave us to our own devices. He doesn't just say, well, now I've created you, you've got a world, have a nice day, enjoy, whatever. Do whatever you like. No. He guides us with His loving kindness. We don't know what to do unless, we don't know how to live successfully unless we have the guidance of God. And all around us we see evidence of the fact that many people are not looking for the guidance of God. They're not receiving the guidance of God. And their life is a mess. The world is a mess. The world is getting spiraling downward and ever downward. But in God's plan, of course, it will all be redeemed. And we'll have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness one day. And I'm looking forward very much to being a part of that. So, God desires fellowship and relationship with His people. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in His final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. Notice the speaking. God has spoken many times throughout the history of the world. God has spoken. God did not leave the world in darkness and without guidance, the guidance of His Word. Jesus is the ultimate expression of the communication of God with humankind. John 1:1, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, who has many titles, but this one title, the beginning of the Gospel of John, and the whole of the Gospel of John is designed to prove the deity of Christ. Every chapter, many, many of the verses in the chapter, in each chapter, show the divinity of Christ. In fact, he doesn't call the miracles miracles, like the other Gospel writers did. They're signs. Signs of what? Signs of the fact that this person, Jesus Christ, is not just a person, but divine. He is God. And not only is he God, but he's called, in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Word. Meaning, we use words to communicate. I'm using words to communicate to you now. Jesus is the ultimate Word of God. He communicated the character of God. When we look at Jesus, we see God incarnate. Whatever Jesus was doing is what God was doing. He is the Word, the ultimate expression of the communication of God. So God wants to communicate, and he always has communicated. He began the communication right through in the Old Testament, and he communicated through Noah, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Moses, through Joshua, through Samuel, through David, through Solomon, the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament gospel writers, the writers of the epistles, the Apostle Paul and others, and many others. But today, in these days, these last days, he has communicated, spoken to us through the Word, his Son, Jesus Christ. So God likes to communicate because he wants relationship with us. He wants to be our Father. He wants to guide us. He wants us to have the best in life, to live life to the fullest, the life that he designed, which was marred by sin. But now, through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice on the cross, of course, we have that barrier of sin which wrecked everything removed, so that it is now possible for us to be restored into a relationship with God with no sin in the eyes of God. We have instead the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. He looks at us and he sees the righteousness of Christ. What a privilege. Now, from the time of Moses, this communication from God was written down. And that's an important point, too, because without being written down, it tends to get changed. Have you ever played that whispering game where you start a phrase at the beginning of the room and it goes around the room and you see how it comes out at the other end? And usually it's very, very different from the way it started out, because there's fault in the communication process if it's not written down. If I wrote it down and handed some piece of paper to the first person and they just handed the piece of paper around the room, it would come out exactly the same. It does not get changed when it's written down. So it was important in the mind of God that his communication be written down. And we have that communication in a written form in the Bible, the Word of God. And it's no accident that we call this the Word of God. The Bible is the record of God's communication over a period of about 1,400 years, written by 40 different authors, all inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that the message came through accurately and clearly. And it's so important to God that this communication is so important to God that he has preserved it through all those centuries. And so we still have it today, even though there have been many attempts over the years to destroy the Word of God and to wipe it out of existence. It still exists today. It's still the best-selling book every year, the Bible, the Word of God. Not just a human production, the Word of God himself. What is life like without God's Word? Terrible. For many years, Israel was the only nation that had the Word of God. All of the other nations in the world had no communication from God except the natural communication of the heavens, which declare the glory of God, But that's a limited communication. It doesn't tell people how to be saved from their sin. It doesn't tell people how to be restored into a relationship with God. Only Israel had that written record of God's communication. Psalm 147, verses 19 and 20 says, He has revealed His words to Jacob, His principles and laws to Israel. He has not done this with any other nation. They do not know His laws. So for many, many years, only Israel had the written communication from God. And as a consequence, the other nations, without God's word, worshipped useless things, like the sun, the moon, the stars. They could see the creation of God, but instead of worshipping the Creator, they instead worshipped the created things. And they would worship the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and the rocks and the rivers and many other things. And then they would make their own idols in their own image and worship those instead, because they didn't have the Word of God. And we said that Israel was the only nation that had the written communication. But even then, they got into trouble, because as soon as they turned away from the Word of God, which they did on many, many occasions, then they became like the nations around them. They started worshiping the gods of the people around them, the gods of the Canaanites. 2 Chronicles 33:1-6 is a very sad commentary on the life of the people of the nation of God. It says there, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He erected altars to the Baals and worshipped them. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. He sacrificed his own sons in the fire. He practiced sorcery and divination and witchcraft and consulted mediums and spiritists. This is the king of God's people. How come things got to that point? Very simple. They stopped worshiping God and they started worshiping the gods of the people around them, which were nothing. They're not gods. They're not real gods. They're just objects invented by human beings. So how they could turn from worshiping the living God who had provided His word to them and provided His prophets to bring that word to them, how they could turn from worshiping Him to worshiping objects of wood and stone and metal is beyond our understanding. And yet, in our modern world, we do the same kind of thing. Our societies are just as bad. God's word is largely ignored outside of the church, and believers are ridiculed for believing such nonsense. Millions of babies are murdered in the womb each year. What God condemns, people and lawmakers celebrate and even take pride in. Right is being called wrong and wrong right. Common sense has been turned into common nonsense because they've turned away from the Word of God. If we try to bring them back to the Word of God, they say that is irrelevant, outdated, old-fashioned. We don't need that. We are more enlightened. Well, no, we're not. If we turn away from the Word of God, we become very dysfunctional. So we have today an epidemic of mental health problems. More mental health issues today than ever before, especially among young people. Why? Because they don't have the guidance of the Word of God. They're not even straight on their own gender when they turn away from the Word of God. The remedy for all of this is not more laws, or it's not safe injection sites like we have in Canada. In Vancouver area, we have these safe injection sites where drug addicts can go and in a safe environment use their drug of choice provided for them by the government and the taxpayers of Canada. That's not solving the problem. There have been more opioid deaths in the year that was introduced than ever before. No, the remedy for all of this is very simple. It's to return to the teaching of the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 11, 26 to 28, we read this. Look, God is speaking. Today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I am giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods that you have not known before. We talk about the promises of God to the people of God. God gave Israel, his people, wonderful promises. But he also promised that if they turned away from worshiping him, turned away from his laws, they would then be under a curse, the curse of God himself. So the thing that made the difference between Israel being the most blessed and privileged nation on earth and being the most detested, persecuted, and pitiful nation on earth was what they did with the Word of God. They had the Word of God. They turned away from the Word of God many, many times. And they suffered the consequences. And even today, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, Gentiles have been grafted into the tree that they were originally a part of. And only if they turn back to God and accept Jesus, the Messiah God sent, only then would they be able to be grafted back into the tree of God. So what you do with the Word of God is very, very crucial. It's not just enough to have the Word of God. Now, the only place that we can find the commands of God that we are to follow, that were mentioned in Deuteronomy 11, is the Word of God. No other book contains the Word of God. No other book is our guide for life. Without God's Word, people are in total darkness. They can't please God. They can't learn of his need, of their need for salvation and of the solution, the way of salvation, the solution to the sin problem. They can't learn of the Savior God sent, who was sent to take away the sin of the world, which he did on the cross. Only by consulting the Word of God can we learn all of this. Learn of the way, the truth, and the life, and become people of God. Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" Isaiah 55:11, "It's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it." Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Romans 10:17, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing this message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." John 17:17, Jesus himself in his high priestly prayer says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So, God's word is fundamental in producing true faith in people and for enabling believers to grow in their faith and in the process of being made like Jesus Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ. We are supposed to be becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ. And it's his word that he uses to bring us into faith and then to nurture us and to sanctify us, to gradually make us holy as we are called to be, just as Jesus Christ is. So that's why it's essential that people have access to the Bible. God's word is essential, point one. Point two. God's word in the heart language is much more effective. If I said to you, I have a message, it's very important, it's from God, listen very carefully, because your whole eternity will be determined by your response now to the words you're about to hear. So do that, and your eternity will be secure. Can you do it? No. It wasn't just nonsense. It wasn't just gibberish. It was John 3:16 in one of the languages of the Philippines. John 3:16 would tell you how to be saved, but not if you don't understand it. So it's crucial to have it in a language that you understand and can respond to. If you hear it in another language that you don't understand, obviously you can't do what's being said. A national mission leader in an African country said they had shown the Jesus film, the Campus Crusade Jesus film, for years to millions of people using an official language with only modest results. And when they started showing it using local languages, then people responded in a marvelous way. It was like they were seeing the film for the first time. Actually, they were just only understanding it for the first time, because they'd seen it with the words in another language, and they saw the images, but the language, they didn't understand it too well and has a mediocre response. When they hear it in their own language, and when those people on the screen are speaking their language, they can understand everything that's being said, and the response was much greater because it was in their language. A pastor in Asia had been using the regional language for 20 years before he discovered the power of presenting the gospel in the local language. And the pastor said that using the regional language was like reading in moonlight, but using the local language is like bright sunlight. Much more clear, much more powerful, much more effective. In one of the languages of the Philippines, Kankanai, a lady, the translator, was checking the translation of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, all those people mentioned who had great faith. And she asked a lady to read it quietly, and then she would ask her questions about the verses that she was reading, and by the answers she would be able to determine whether the translation was communicating clearly. So the lady began to read Hebrews 11, and then tears began to form in her eyes as she was reading. And then as the further she read, the more tearful she became, and tears were rolling down her cheeks. And the translator lady said, "Is something wrong?" And she said, "You know, I've read these words many times in the Ilocano Bible." That's the regional language in that area. And I've never really realized before just what those people endured for their faith. What made the difference? She was reading it in her own language for the first time. So even though she had read it in Ilocano and understood, you know, she was functional in Ilocano. She could go to the market, buy and trade, and, you know, have conversations with people. But reading the Bible for meaning only happened when it was in her own language. One of our translators in the project we've just finished, we were doing an audio recording of the Faith Comes by Hearing, was helping us to record, do an audio, dramatized audio recording of the New Testament. So we had different readers taking different parts and reading those parts. As those parts are being read, there are two people off to the side following the text on a computer screen and following along as it's being read to make sure that no words are messed out and the pronunciation is good and just making sure it's all good. And one of our translators was being one of those proof listeners. So he was watching the screen as the Word of God was being read by the person reading the part. And when we took a break, he turned to me and he said, "You know, I now realize that the Word of God in your own language is much better." Now, this man had been involved for 20 years translating these very words that he was listening to. But he had been involved only as a translator, you know, and at the translation desk, you are working with exegesis, you're working with issues of naturalness and trying to find the right word and putting them together in the right way so that it flows nicely, is natural and clear and accurate. And so you're working with it in a sort of an academic way. But now all he had to do, he didn't have to worry about the exegesis or anything else. He just had to listen. And the words were coming into his ear as he watched the screen, and it was impacting his heart because it was his own language. And only then, as he was able just to relax and listen to the words and listen to the message Only then did he realize,
wow,
this is much better when it's in my own language. Because other languages that you learn in a different way than the way you learn your own language, your first language. And when you hear things in your own first language, it impacts you on a heart level, not just an intellectual level. The other languages I call head languages as opposed to a heart language. So a head language you respond to in an intellectual way, not with the heart, not with the emotions. It's just sort of like reading a textbook for a course in school. You know, you understand it, but it's not, you know, it's not making you break down in tears. It's not impacting you in that same way. One other experience from that audio recording, another of the translators had the part of Jesus. And he would read all of it, went right through the Gospels and read the part of Jesus. And when he got to Jesus on the cross, he came to the part where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at that point, he couldn't continue. His words were breaking up, and tears were forming in his eyes, and he had to stop, and he had to compose himself. Now, he is a pastor. He has a master's degree in theology. He's not, you know, a person from the hills who hasn't, you know, learned much. He's an educated man and a pastor and had worked with the Bible for many, many years. I read those words many times in other languages. Finally, it's in his own language. And he, at that point, was Jesus. He was in his part. And because it was his own language, those words had a dramatically powerful impact on him. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he was so emotionally overwrought because it was his own language. That's the response that God wants to have to his word. Not just an intellectual acceptance of the words or the doctrines, but the heart level response. My God. Not just God, but my God. God becomes your God as you read his word in your own language. So, it's much more powerful and effective in your own language. Third point, the Bible translation is essential. Based upon all that we've said so far this evening, translation of the Word of God is a natural outcome of all of this because there are over 7,300 languages in the world. And as of the end of 2023, 1,268 of them had no scriptural translation program started in their language. So for those people, speakers of those languages, and we're talking about hundreds of millions of people, God's word doesn't even exist. God's message, which is so essential, doesn't exist for them because it's not in a language they understand. And in order for them, for the message to come through to them in a powerful and effective way, someone has to translate the message into their language. And that's what Bible translators do. They translate the Word of God into the language of the people. So, what have we learned today? One, God's Word is essential. Two, it's very effective because that's what God uses to bring people to himself and help them to grow spiritually. Three, it communicates most effectively when it's in the heart language. And fourthly, in order for that to happen, in many areas of the world, translation of the message into the heart language is essential. Now, is all this just theory for you? What does this mean for you and for me? A simple question. We have the Word of God in our language. And if you're not a native speaker of English, hopefully you have it in your language. If it's a major language of the world like Spanish or Urdu or something like that, French. But even though we have the Word of God, it's not enough to have the Word of God. Remember the case of Israel and Manasseh? They had the Word of God, but they had abandoned the Word of God. They were saying, oh, we don't need the Word of God anymore. We want to be like the people around us. They've got lots of gods here and there. You can see their God. You can't see this other God that the Bible is talking about. We want to be like those people. And then their life became totally a mess because they abandoned the teaching of the Word of God. So, what are we doing? What am I doing with the Word of God that I have available to me? We are so blessed with versions of the Word of God. We have it in many different versions. We can readily go to a bookstore, a Bible bookstore, and we can pick up a copy of the Bible. There's no restriction on reading it, no restriction on owning it, like there is in some countries. But the question is, are we reading it regularly and meaningfully, or are we just bringing it to church on Sunday and opening it once a week? I hope that's not the case for anybody here in this room, and I don't expect it to be, because you have excellent teaching and you have a strong emphasis on the Word of God. But we need to ask the question, am I really paying attention to the message of God in my life every day? Am I applying it to my life? It's not enough just to read it. We need to study it. We need to say, Lord, what are you saying to me today through this passage that I've just read? How can I apply it to my life? Am I really doing what it says? Or am I picking and choosing what I want to obey and leaving the rest sort of on the sidelines? The uncomfortable verses. God wants us to interact with His Word, to know His Word backwards and forwards and inside out. And you don't do that by just reading it on a casual basis. Get into the Word of God. Memorize the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God, because it's such a wonderful gift that we have from the Lord of the universe. His very words in our language. And pray, too. Continue to pray for those who are translating the Word of God around the world. It's a difficult task. It's not done quickly. It's not done easily. And we want to make sure it's accurate and clear and natural. And that takes a long time to get it, to do it properly. So pray for those involved in Bible translation. We are officially going to retire at the end of September. Our project is finished. We'll be telling you about that in a little while. But you won't need to support us anymore financially because we'll be retired. However, I would encourage you to find another Bible translator to take over, to receive the support. I think every church should be involved in the task of Bible translation by praying for it and, if possible, financially supporting the work of Bible translation. So there are many that you could support, and I would encourage you to contact Wycliffe and say, the Greens are no longer needing support. Do you have someone else? Just a suggestion. And thank you for the support that you've given to us. We deeply appreciate it. Thank you for being partners with us. And you really have been partners with us. I'm not just saying that. It's not just a nice thing the missionaries say. You have been partners with us. And we feel that. We feel the power of that. And we're so glad to be able to come and be here in person to meet you and to let you see the people that you've been supporting that you haven't even met before. And later we'll talk about the results of that in this particular project that we've been involved with. So thank you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we want to thank you for your word, which is such a wonderful gift, such a beautiful thing for you to give to us. Thank you for caring enough for us and about us that you have given us your word, your communication. Help us not to neglect it, but to treasure it, to regard it as more important than our daily food, and to partake of it every day, and to apply it to our lives, so that you will be glorified by our obedience to your word of God, our living out of the word of God. And help us also to be sharing the word of God with other people that you bring across our path every day. so that they too can hear of the way of salvation and avail of it as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.